go down a line. So I'm just going to go down the line as participants show up on my screen. And so, Mr. Coleman.
Good afternoon, John Coleman. I'm Assistant Director of Billing and Land Use for the Town of Bloomfield. And I've been a Hartford or Bloomfield rep on CROC for years and years. And on the side, chair of the CROC Transportation Committee.
Great. Thanks, John. Lori Spielman.
We're trying to talk to you.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can, Lori.
Okay, I'm having a hard time with my voice.
Speakers.
Good. Glad it's just glad you'd be with us, and glad it's your speakers and not your voice. So, Andy from Plainville.
Hey there, good afternoon. Andy Cirioli, Assistant Town Manager with the Town of Plainville.
All righty. Oh, Grace.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody. Grace Tiazzi, Assistant Town Manager for the Town of Avon.
What's happening in Glastonbury, Jonathan?
Thank you. A whole lot of budget preparation going on.
All righty.
Jonathan Louise, Town of Glastonbury.
Fantastic. And Lauren Rines. I don't believe I've met Lauren.
Hi, Lauren Rines, the Director of Administrative Services for the Town of Newington.
Great. Thanks for joining us. And we have Megan from Tolland.
Hi, Megan Massa. I'm the Projects and Grants Manager for the Town of Tolland.
Welcome. And then we, Peter Tanaka.
Yeah, it's Pete Tanaka, T-A-N-A-K-A, Tanaka. I'm the newly elected first selectman, Town of Willington.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us. And what's happening in Simsbury, Tom?
Not much. I'm Tom Fischot. I'm the acting deputy town manager here in Simsbury.
All right. And I got if the CROG folks would like to introduce themselves. Starting wherever.
I'll lead off. Matt Hart, Executive Director. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. Pauline?
Pauline Yoder, Chief Operating Officer here at CROG. I'll turn to Kim and then Robin.
Hi, everyone. Kim Bona, Program Manager here at CROG.
Good afternoon, everyone. Robin Nichols, Municipal Services at CROG.
And I think we have Manchester to go.
Hi, everyone. Kasia Priscillo, Assistant Town Manager for Manchester.
Great. Have I missed anyone?
Maybe Eric. Eric from the CROG team.
Yeah.
And Aaliyah.
Oh, my fault. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I think they joined. They just joined.
Great.
Hi, Eric Snowden, IT and GIS Manager, CROG.
Thanks for being with us, Eric. Aaliyah?
Oh, can you hear me? Oh, I'm off mic. Hi, good morning. Aaliyah Miller, Communications here at CROG. I'm Senior Communications Manager. Good morning.
Hello there. All righty. Well, thank you very much. Great to see some new faces join us. And so this is the Municipal Services Committee. It's to some people's chagrin, I run a pretty informal meeting. But we try to cover some good ground in about an hour and 10 minutes or so. So we've got a few pieces of business to do. And I'd like to have a motion to approve the October 17, 2023 minutes.
So moved, Lori Spielman.
Thank you, Lori.
John Coleman.
Thank you, John. Any changes to the minutes as presented? All right.
Nope.
Not hearing any. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Fantastic. Any abstentions or? All right, great. Those get approved. We usually have reports from chair and the staff. I don't have any reports this evening. Tell you what, where my brain is. Today, other than to thank you again for participating, and be really fantastic if hopefully you guys can put our meeting dates on your calendar and be consistent in attending. That way there we can continue the conversations from 1 month to the next, and that will make it even a richer conversation than it normally is. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Matt if he has any reports.
Yeah, thank you so much, Peter, and good afternoon again, everyone. I see that we're also joined by Maria Capriola from the town of Mansfield, which is great. And thank you all, as Peter said, who are joining us today for the first time, and hopefully you come back. This is really a great venue to talk about, you know, potential new programs and ideas for CROG, but also to share information with your peers, you know, what's working in your community, maybe to find out about an exciting initiative that a neighbor may have been have in place as well. So just a very short report today, Peter. As we know, we recently had the municipal elections. We had some turnover on the CROG board, and we are in the process right now of planning an orientation for new policy board members. We'll invite other members as well. We have two dates in mind. One would be a noon session next Wednesday, the 13th. And then we are also contemplating a session in advance of the policy board meeting on December 20th. So we'll make sure to continue to send those invites out. If you're a staff member with a new chief elected official, really would encourage you to, or ask you to encourage them to attend one of those sessions, so we can just give them a good proper orientation to CROG. And John Coleman, want to thank John. He is once again heading up the nominations committee because the policy board will need to elect new officers for the new two-year term. And that's an action the policy board will be taking at its meeting on December 20th. Those are pretty much the items I wanted to touch on today, Peter. Happy to turn to Pauline to see if there's anything she'd like to add. I'd like to spend most of my time today on the business items.
No, I don't have anything else to add. I think the only thing is the RPIP, but that's later on in the agenda. So nothing from me.
Great. Anything, Kim, do you have anything from a purchasing council perspective?
No, the gas bid is currently open, so that's going to be closing on the 13th, so I'll have results out to all of you probably that afternoon, just a FYI.
Well, hopefully you've timed it well this time around, Kim.
Fingers crossed.
Well, looked halfway decent when I went to the pump the other day. I'm not sure what that means. So all righty. If there's no other reports from items from the CROG staff, we'll move to the business item. And the business items. The first is to approve the meeting schedule for calendar year 2024, which was part of the package. Not sure, Matt or Pauline, do you have anything particularly that you want to note here? It looks pretty similar to years past.
It is that, yes. We would meet at noon on the third Tuesday of most months, except where there's a holiday, and we would plan to hold the meetings virtually via Zoom. However, we have talked in the past about holding some hybrid meetings, and that's what we did in October, I believe, and it worked out really well. So I think at the call of the chair, we'll look to work some hybrid meetings into the schedule as well, probably on roughly a quarterly basis.
Right. Thank you, Matt. I concur. I'd like to have ideally at least a couple in-person meetings, particularly after CROG moves into the new office space towards the latter part of winter, early spring. So once you guys get settled in, we'll
see you. Never have fun this weekend.
So, all right. Can I have a motion to approve the schedule as presented?
So moved, John Coleman.
Is there a second?
Second, Lori Spielman.
All righty. Is there any discussion or suggested changes? Right. Hearing none, all those in favor of approving as presented, say aye.
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 Great. Any opposition or abstentions? Great. Got that out of the way. And Matt and Pauline are going to talk a little bit about the legislative 2024 legislative agenda. And as you many of you know, this is really a region-centric approach. CCM and COST have their own legislative agendas, even though there may be some crossover. This is really focused on what items that the region wants to move forward. So Matt, if you wanted to provide that update.
Yeah, happy to, Peter. I'll lead off and then Pauline could add on to it. So each and every year, as Peter touched on, the policy board will adopt a legislative agenda, generally in the January timeframe. And that legislative agenda is focused on the state's General Assembly. We occasionally have items for Congress as well, but we really focus on the General Assembly. So we put together an ad hoc legislative committee that will prepare a draft for the full board's review. So we've got an ad hoc committee. I think at least a couple of you are serving on that. We've got our next meeting tomorrow morning at 9. As Peter said, we don't look to duplicate what CCM and COST are doing, although we may endorse some of their proposals and priority items. So our committee met for the first time a couple of weeks ago. Some of the items that they'd like to include in the proposal going to the policy board in January are similar to what we had in last year's agenda. Seeking some additional funding to assist with stormwater management. Another idea, which we're going to flesh out in a little bit more detail, and I think the other cogs in the state will certainly support this too, would be to ask the state to create something of an infrastructure bank to have a pool of money that can be used as the local match for these federal funding opportunities, such as the opportunities under the bipartisan infrastructure law. And most of those require a 20% local match. And we know that can be a challenge for many of our towns, especially our smaller towns that may rely on a town meeting, a referendum for bond funding, et cetera. We also talked about fair rent commissions and the idea we discussed last year about allowing at local option, the establishment of regional fair rent commissions, because fair rent commissions take some time and attention to appropriately staff. It can also be difficult to attract and recruit commission members. The next item we talked about was increasing the state's Medicare ambulance reimbursement rate. The state made some progress last year, but we really would like to see it match the federal rate at a minimum. Another item was increasing funding for the state-owned property, the payment in lieu of taxes on state-owned property. That's a critical grant funding source for several of our towns. The next item impacts many of our Eastern Connecticut communities that are dealing with homes with crumbling foundations. So some years ago now, and CROG was instrumental in this, in helping the state set up a captive insurance company to assist with that crisis. And the important point here is that the state continue on an annual basis to allocate state bond monies to fund that program. Just a couple more items. Another thing we talked about, and this would be somewhat new for the coming year, would be support, state support for the establishment of apprenticeships for local government positions. Think about building code officials as one example. And we'd also like the state to increase or make reciprocity easier. What's reciprocity? Reciprocity is the process in which the state will recognize licenses from other states. Again, think about the example of a building code official coming from another state. How can we make that easier? Something else from last year, continued funding to remediate PFAS contaminated wells, which is a significant issue in our region and actually across the state and increasingly across the country. And then the last item I'll touch on and turn it over to Pauline, and it relates to our upcoming discussion on the Regional Performance Incentive Program, is what more can the state do to eliminate barriers to service sharing? So I think, as most of us know, there's a statute on the books that permits intergovernmental agreements, and it allows towns to ostensibly share any services that they provide singly. They can do it in combination with one or more other municipalities. But the real remaining barrier is under our collective bargaining statute, under MERA, the Municipal Employees Relations Act. For example, if you want to combine a service with two or three towns and the employees are represented by bargaining units, there really isn't a process under state law to facilitate that and bring those employees together under a new consolidated bargaining unit. So I know that's a lot. That's what we talked about in our first meeting. And again, we got our next meeting tomorrow morning at 9. Pauline, anything addition you'd like to add? And Peter, you can too, since you attended the last meeting and I know you were very helpful with your with some of your suggestions.
No, I don't think so. We had discussed some sort of helping with cooperative purchasing and making that an easier process for state grants, but I don't think this is the time to tackle that in our legislative agenda. Other than that, but that might be something we might be working in the background from a guidance or rules perspective versus a legislative perspective.
Yeah, thank you, Pauline. And Peter, I know at the legislative committee meeting, you asked whether or not we foresee a state mandate coming on organics collection. And Robin, I don't know if you're prepared or able to speak to that, but Robin looked into it and we don't foresee that coming, a hard mandate.
At least not in this session.
Correct. Not in this session.
Yeah. Great. So I'd like to open it up just for any questions, and maybe is there any other suggestions that folks might have that Matt can bring to the Legislative Committee meeting tomorrow. Chime right in if you have anything or any thoughts. Maria?
Peter, yeah, just I would like to see some continued pressure on the state to not lose momentum with the MERS working group. There's still, I think, a lot of open items. I know I'm a member of that work group. Jonathan was appointed to that working group. I think that there's still a long way to go in terms of governance structure, how we're looking at all of the assumptions that are utilized in the plan, as well as some other issues with the plan that we've all acknowledged, including this being rehired by other municipalities issues. So there really are a number of issues left, I think, that still need to be addressed. And whether that's maybe done through the legislative priorities, but just again, kind of getting some pressure, because it's been quite some time since we've had a meeting. And I would like to not see those other items be forgotten about before the upcoming session.
Maria, thanks for bringing that up. The first selectman in Windsor Locks and I talked about that last week, and he was pretty sure that the treasurer's office was going to try to get that started shortly after the first of the year again. So, but anybody else have any thoughts, questions? Just chime on in, because I might not be able to see y'all on the screen.
This one idea I had was statutes say that municipalities that have purchasing policies, and I'm generalizing here, have to go out to seal bid for anything that costs $25,000 or more. And that statute was last updated about 11 years ago. So I think it would behoove us all to try to get that number adjusted, at least for just inflation. I think if you look at inflation alone, taking some, you know, widely accepted, you know, figures, that number should go up to around 34,000 or 35,000. So I think it'd save us all a lot of time and effort if we could do that. And I have the background information on that from town attorney.
So, Jonathan, please clarify for me, because how does that work with the communities that have charter thresholds that are different?
I would think you would probably have to have a provision that says something like, notwithstanding whatever is in a town charter, municipalities can, you know, go out to bid if they wish, or set a policy that allows them to go out to bid for anything, you know, getting three quotes for anything less than $34,000,
$35,000. Well, I guess I've been violating state law for quite a few years, for like the last 40 years since our charter has been in place. So,
you know, no, it's unique. It says something like, and I'll pass on the language to you.
Yeah.
It says something like, you know, we have our own purchasing policies that set through an ordinance, $25,000 figure. And it talks about if you don't have a figure, you're not bound. But if you do, it sets it for you at 25. I was shocked when I saw it, because I sent it into the town attorney just for like a cursory review. And I was like, I didn't know about this. So I could pass it on, but I think it'd be really helpful just to give us, those of us who want that flexibility, to be able to go higher. If you're in that category where you're restricted.
All right, that's interesting. Thank you. If you could maybe pass it along to Krog staff and others. Maria?
Sorry, another thought. So an issue I don't currently have here in Mansfield, because we have the resident trooper program, but back when the police accountability law was first adopted and implemented, I had flagged a concern back then saying, well, what happens if we have, you know, an officer who essentially has their post certification stripped, but then you have an SBMA panel that returns that person to duty? Like, what do you do? Those two things, right? Those, the process under MIRA and the process under the police accountability law don't mesh. And so I think that was an issue that's been raised, but it hasn't been addressed or dealt with. And I had heard through Labor Council that at least in two communities that had become an issue where I think post-certification was stripped or in the process of being stripped, yet an SBMA panel had reinstated the individual to duty. So that just might be something to kind of work through legislatively, whether it's a fix, you know, fix on one end or the other, but that probably needs to be looked at.
My suggestion on that one is maybe we have a map, maybe there's a conversation with CCM that feels like that's a CCM led discussion, since they're so heavily involved in some of those topics in the past, and then, you know, we can potentially weigh in as that, if that was to proceed. But that's this is my thought in terms of.
Yeah, happy to do that, and thank you for raising it, Maria. I don't know if Cheryl Assis from our team is aware of it, the issue.
I am not, but happy to talk to the CPCA lobbyist about it as well to get more information on the issue, Maria.
For those of you who are new, Cheryl's our Director of Public Safety and Homeland Security, and staffs the Capital Region Chiefs of Police Association, among other things.
All right, that's a pretty big list. I know there was a Mark Walters from Columbia had mentioned to me. This may be another thing that's for maybe from a CCM led one, but the it wasn't Mark Walters. It was Eric Anderson from Andover had mentioned it to me regarding the threshold the state has for renovation projects and prevailing wage. Where that is not indexed, and with today's increase in construction costs, I think pretty much almost any project is going to hit that threshold. So Again, Matt, I'm not sure if that's really a CROG-led initiative, but I don't know if that's somewhere in the mix with COST or CCM.
Yeah, I'd be happy to double-check the CCM platform to see if that's included in their final program. I'm pretty sure COST has included it.
Okay.
It's kind of Pauline, a perennial thing.
Yes. That's why Eric was just suggesting, even if it could just be indexed, just from where its current position, not even bumping it, just index it. So, Pauline, did you have your hand raised?
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's a perennial issue that always comes up because it hasn't moved in years, and it is, $50,000 is way low for something like that.
Right.
And it's an onerous process as well it's difficult.
As we all know, the prevailing is not a big gap between the prevailing wage and kind of where the mark, that whole piece there, but it's union rate. It's more the contractor eliminating smaller contractors from being able to participate in projects is because of the, as you said, the administrative burden. All righty, so that's a pretty robust list, and look forward. And that legislative agenda will be coming back to the policy board in December, Matt?
No, at the end of January, Peter.
End of January, okay. Great. All right, so Matt, does that take care of the legislative agenda for you?
It does, and thank you all very much for the suggestions. Appreciate it.
Okay, so the CROG staff has been absolutely very productive in getting regional performance incentive grants. And I think there's been some progress in some areas. And Pauline, you speak to that, but also there's been some challenges. And I think we want to talk a little bit about what the updates are, but also really have a conversation today about what are the hurdles? What are those hurdles, be it local political inertia, or are they some of the things like Matt talked about, which are the collective bargaining issues? So we want to spend, we got some time here. We want to really spend some discussion on this and some thinking on how we can, I hate to give back money to the state. We worked hard to get it. The staff worked hard to get it. Hate to have to. But how can we modify perhaps these approaches to be successful? So, Pauline?
So I'll give you the good news first. So we are making progress on the animal control officer. We're starting with Hebron, Andover, and Columbia working together. And so that is in progress. And the goal is to start that contract in July 1. They'll be sharing the primarily Hebron's facility with Columbia's existing facility and Andover's existing facility as sort of backups. And we're pretty excited about that. I think that is going to move forward great. And if there's anybody else who wants to do sort of a smaller group, this is really a sub-regional model, right, for that, because it's animal control, so it requires you need to be within proximity of each other. If there are others who want to participate in that, that is also an opportunity. There's still opportunity there. Just to give, I'm going to back up a little bit for the new people on what RPIP is. We're so used to using the acronym. So RPIP, for those of you who are new, is the Regional Performance Incentive Program. And that is the state's grant program to encourage towns to share services, either back office, front office, whatever it may be. And CROG received three grants, for animal control officers, which is moving great. Then another for building officials, and a third for assessors or shared assessment of some form or another. So the good news, done. All right, so moving on to sort of the challenging issues is building officials is the other one where a lot of towns, many of the towns have said, we need help. We need either temporary or consistent assistance in some form. And we've had quite a bit of a challenge in terms of finding people, really. So we have a full-time regional building official position. It's still technically currently open, but at the first review date there were no applications, so a little bit of a challenge. And then we're with that program. We know there's a need. We know there's interest among the towns. And so we're moving in a slightly different direction of, we know there are firms and consulting firms that provide, that have certified building officials on staff. So we're going to put out an RFP to see if we can find a firm instead of it being a CROG position. So we're trying there.
So Pauline, if I could just add in there, when I've explored the private consulting firms, and you need to make sure that they can, just as Matt said earlier, that they have folks that are certified in Connecticut.
Right.
And many of them will say they do and they don't. So I think it's just a matter of, again, it goes back to the same thing. There's not enough bodies in the pipeline. So just something to be very cognizant of.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Peter. I think one of the things is that we will require them to show the certification as part of their submission. Yep. The actual certificate that you get from DIS, so that we can verify that. I think that's very good suggestion. Thank you.
Yeah. I guess I say that not to be a wet blanket, but I'm not sure the range of folks that are out there. I think that's going to be, but I like the different, I like trying the different angle.
We're not sure either. So that's really the challenge. It's really finding the bodies, right? And right now, you know, there's a lot of the people who filled their open positions for building officials have filled them through hiring people from their next door neighbor, which is not the ideal solution.
Pauline, before you move on to assessing, I'd like to ask if anybody has any questions regarding building official.
Yeah, Peter, I have a quick question if you don't mind.
Absolutely, right, Ian.
So Pauline knows this and Matt does too. Plainville is very interested in the building official regional approach. We have one individual for the whole town. There's a lot of development. He is clearly beyond his limits. So we're very interested. And I appreciate the whole CROG staff for being innovative and doing their best. I mean, this is not a short come on CROG. It's just kind of the industry we're working with. So I appreciate it. I just wanted to say, I do reiterate Peter's point. When I spoke to our building official regarding switching the tactic from hiring a building official from CROG and going to a firm, his two concerns were the certification, but also just the cost, which is something that I'm cognizant of as well. I don't know if this is going to be more expensive. I had mentioned this before, the original proposal, when looking at it over the 4 years, as the cost began to shift toward the town and away from the RPIP grant, it was pretty expensive. It was kind of hefty. It would have been hard for Plainville. And so I don't know what it'll look like. And obviously you don't either until the RFPs come in and you see what the costs are. But that's just something that we're cognizant of, that we're looking out for, because hopefully there's some efficiencies that we can get by doing it regionally. But I don't know. Those are just our concerns. Just wanted to share that. We're interested though.
Yeah, Peter, this is Matt. I'd like to respond to that if I could.
Please.
Yeah, so thank you very much, Andy. And we've appreciated your interest in the program and initiative. And, you know, we want to be sensitive to the cost issue as well. You know, there are other ways we can tackle this. You know, for example, the building official does not need to be a CROG employee, especially if we're talking about a sub-regional model. If there's a town with someone that's talented, maybe you think you have a little capacity, if there is one town that is willing to take the lead, and contract with some of its members through that interlocal agreement, we can use our grant to add additional staff. And again, they don't have to be CROG employees. So that's one way we could tackle it. It's hard for me in my mind not to think that there aren't pockets across our region of 2, 3, 4 small towns that couldn't benefit from this state grant. And as Peter said, we don't want to return the money. And then another approach we could take, which would be quite different for the building official, is we could look to hire a specialist. For example, maybe not an ABO or building official, but maybe someone who specializes in HVAC or electrical. You know, maybe there's a particular demand out there that our towns are having a hard time meeting, because the vast majority of our towns hire generalists, because that's most of the demand, and you have limited funding. So I wanted to put those two ideas out there. You know, number one, the employee does not need to be a CROG employee. And number two, should we look at this specialist idea if everything else fails? Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Pauline, I know you have your hand raised. Could you just clarify for everyone, it's the 3-year component and how it steps down from a funding, just so we're all refreshed? You're muted, Pauline.
I thought I had clicked the button. So the state provides for, the way we presented the application to OPM was that the grant would cover 75% of the costs in the first year, 50% of the costs in the second year, and 25% of the costs in the third year, such that by the fourth year, the idea being it could be self-sustaining by whatever fees or payments that the towns made. I will note that with the ACO, it is definitely the ACO is going to be a Hebron employee as opposed to a CROG employee. So that works in terms of that. And so definitely that's something that we could do. Part of the issue is the capacity in the towns that have been able to hire there's no excess capacity. And right. But definitely that is also an option. And I will note, though, however, that the first year is this fiscal year that we're in now. So in terms of the way the step works, most likely, given where we are in December, that it may have to start off at a smaller subsidy when we start with the program because of the lack of traction we've been able to get.
Understood. Does anybody have any questions regarding the building inspection or any other suggestions? What do you folks see as the hurdles? What's kind of keeping you from jumping in, other than lack of bodies in the pipe, availability? All right. And please jump in if I can't see everyone, but I will just add that what we've decided to do here in Windsor is we had a ABO leave for a job at UConn, and we knew we weren't going to get any applicants, so we advertised basically as a non-certified, and we're basically paying that individual at an entry level. He has trade experience. They're going to go to the state prep school, the class, for 4 months, whatever that is, two or three days a week. We're going to pay him to go to class. And then another two or three days, we're going to have him shadow and start to learn some of the basic plan review, and just hope that in 6 months from now, he passes, he can become certified as ABO, and then we'll have him on board. But that's the only way that we could figure that we're going to find someone and kind of grow him homegrown. And I wonder, Matt, if that's something that could be applied, that same approach could be applied with the multi-town approach and be eligible for RPIP.
And thank you, Peter. And that's an exciting initiative. I want to commend Windsor for doing that. And Peter, Souza, and I, and a bunch of others are involved in a conversation with the state in terms of how we create either an apprenticeship track or an intern type track for new building inspectors. And we should have more to report on that in the coming months. It's really an exciting development. But in response to Peter's direct question, Pauline and Robin, what are your thoughts in terms of would our existing grant application and how it was written, would it permit this? Or I guess we could at least have the conversation with OPM, correct?
I think we could have the conversation with OPM. But I think thinking about our application, it wouldn't be not permitted. How about that? it's not contrary to what our submission was. It's just slightly different because of the nature. But I think it's a potential.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to open up the door for thinking outside the box. When we originally applied for this grant, there were quite a few towns that were interested, many towns, which is why this is one of the initiatives we pursued. And some of those have changed since then. So we've had to rework the next steps in the process. So I think we could go back to OPM. But the next question I would have is, of the members on this call, besides Andy speaking out, is there a need amongst the members here to fill those, even if it were part-time or gaps or project-specific projects? Would you all be able to comment on what your needs are in your towns so we know what we might be looking to pursue?
Well, I'll just comment from a Windsor perspective, since we're going to be down an assistant a building inspector for a certified inspector for at least 6 months. In theory, we'd be available. Although I've committed all of my staffing resources, money wise, to doing earn as you learn. So that's a predicament. But we're going to need we're going to need hours, because my other two folks can't work, 60 hours a week and get all the inspections. So that would be my challenge from just my Windsor perspective right now as we sit. Anybody else have any thoughts to Robin's question? We just got to import some building officials. That's bottom line. Bottom line. And that's why I like the idea of going to the state and saying, we got to create, if we can't import them, if they aren't going to do allow other states to be certified here, we do it with police officers. They do a comparable test. And okay, so you have to go take 3 or 4 weeks of Connecticut law or whatever those courses are. So I don't understand the challenge for building officials, to be honest with you. We all use international building code. Seems like a simple no-brainer to me, but then again, I'm look through the world in different glasses at times. But I also think the fact of, hey, we got to build this pipeline, and there's folks that Matt has built good relationships with DAS, and maybe we could use them as an angle with OPM to say, hey, we got to be creative to get ourselves out of this hole. So, all righty, Pauline, do you want to talk about assessing?
Same
big challenge.
Assessment has the opposite challenge in terms of, we're looking for willing participants in that, and so we've wondered about changing sort of the nature of that to, instead of focusing on that higher level assessment piece of saying, you know, what about sort of that assessment clerk level, would there be interest? So this is a question for the committee here, would there be interest in sort of not a shared assessor, but maybe shared assessment.
Assessment tech or something like that,
or entry level. Yeah, so it's lower level. So I know there was one town that mentioned that they might be interested in that, but can't do an output program, do a shared program with one town. So
right.
The question is, are there other towns who might be interested in that? Yeah. No commitment necessary now. Let's explore it if you are. And please let me know if you are. And that's okay. That with regards to that grant, it's finding willing participants. Mm-hmm.
Anybody have any thoughts on the assessing part of it? Again, I know we're advertising and been interviewing in our candidate pool for an assessment tech or deputy assessor, if you will, pretty slim as well. So Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. You know, the same concept that I mentioned for the building code official could apply here as well. I mean, we have towns, especially smaller towns in our region, that are relying on part-time assessors, you know, working a very limited number of hours a week in their town. And they're likely a full-time assessor somewhere else. You know, I think that places that community in a vulnerable position. And again, we could use this funding, you know, to help establish a full-time position in one of our communities that could also support other communities. You know, so we have this grant available and really want to maximize this opportunity while we have it. So maybe the towns that are on the call today are pretty well positioned with respect to assessment services. But, you know, if you know some of your smaller neighbors that don't attend these meetings on a regular basis, and we're doing our best to connect with them, feel free to reach out and encourage them to get in touch with us to see if we can help them.
Thank you, Matt. I do think that's important. You know, obviously we wear multiple hats here at the Municipal Services Committee. Sometimes we speak from our own position because that's what's familiar to us, but how do we create that ecosystem or that environment where we have these sub-regional approaches? I'm gonna get on my soapbox for a second. We are putting ourselves out of business at the municipal level. The taxes are just becoming property taxes. The state of Connecticut is not going to reform the property tax and local property tax situation in the near future, if ever. So how do we work together? We don't have to do it all 38 towns, but how do we work together in maybe in a sub-regional basis, just like Hebron, Columbia, and Andover? And I want to say that I think we do a lot more than we give ourselves credit for. And I was going to bring this up in another part of the meeting, but I think we have to start to promote to ourselves, first of all the great service sharing that we do. We do a lot, but I'm concerned that in the near future, we're going to continue to run out of different disciplines, or we're going to put ourselves out of business. Because what I've seen some of us paying for assessors for a part-time hourly rate, contractual rate, is unbelievable. I mean, we're talking $90 an hour for somebody that's working 8 hours a week, 9 hours, 10 hours a week. So I don't know how, I don't know how the smaller communities are affording that. But I'll step down now. That's chair prerogative, apparently. And I apologize for getting a little bit animated, but we really got to work and help each other. And, you know, so I'd like to open it up. Anybody have any questions or any additional items on this, on the RPIP stuff? Or anything else? Any good recipes from Thanksgiving? I'm wide open. So. Alrighty, well, I think this is a conversation that I would like to continue as we go into the new year. I don't know, John, maybe I've just been starting to get around here too long and I'm getting a little bit frustrated with we talk about server sharing, we do a really good job. Maybe we just got to educate ourselves and inform ourselves again, the good work we did. Pauline, we did that a number of years ago. Maybe we need to dust that off and bring the new policy board members up to date on all the good work that we do behind the scenes. But
I think it makes a lot of sense, Mr. Chairman.
So I will volunteer our UConn intern if you guys need help.
Now I need to jump off, Peter, for a meeting with our new corporation counsel. But I just, great, in terms of sharing, I just want to hats off to Bloomfield, but also to the town of Simsbury. That it's great to announce that the bike path extension up to Terrafield has formally opened, and it's being well used from my observations, and really appreciate the efforts of the town of Simsbury in managing that project and getting it done on time. It was a challenge in many respects, particularly in terms of the location, but also with a couple of the contractors. And when all is said and done, it turned out well. And I think it's a great example of intertown cooperation on a project, and one that we should all be very proud of. And hats off, particularly to the staff at CROG for shepherding all of us through the myriad of processes we had to do. With all that, I'd like to wish you all a very happy holiday season, and look forward to continued discussions on this committee. Great. Be well.
Thank you, John. We look forward to the other end of the bike pathway getting done in the next 5 years, too.
We do, too.
Yeah. All righty. All right. So John did a great segue right into municipal information sharing. Anybody else have any news to share? I don't see anybody's hand.
I don't have anything to share, but I do have just a question for this group. As you all know, Manchester had a merger with our fire departments this past July, really successful merger, all going well with that. However, as part of that, we have now a volunteer fire department like segment as part of that. So one of the things I'm doing right now is doing some research on incentives for volunteers. And as we all know, that kind of is something that, a lot of places have struggled with who've had volunteer fire departments and volunteer services such as that. So I'm just wondering if anybody has any recommendations for successful volunteer incentives. You know, we're looking at different kinds of, we have tuition, loan repayment, different kind of, retirement incentives down the road, but, things like that. If there's anything out of the box that I'm not thinking of and I'm not seeing and anyone has to share, be very happy if you could send that along my way.
Absolutely.
Kasia, we recently did a study for our fire department. It started as it was a master planning process, but one of the things we did was we sent our volunteers a survey, and some of the questions were about like recruitment and retention and benefits. And for a lot of them, they report that they don't do it for the retirement, the LOSAP benefit at the end of their tenure, or they do it for the camaraderie. But I can send you the link. I can send you the link to the study because it is an interesting read, and I think it was kind of enlightening. Now, with that said, I think those benefits are very important to offer. And one that's been floated around by our fire chief was the idea, we have a lot of kind of new affordable housing developments that are going to be coming online, and somehow trying to work with the developer to make some of those units available for some of our volunteers. You know, we've got a lot of young people that are, they serve in the volunteer fire department, and they want to stay in Avon, but they can only afford to live with mom and dad. So if they were able to have a rental unit that's affordable in exchange for some level of service or response, that's something that's been tossed around. We haven't been able to execute it, but it's just it's an idea that keeps cropping up.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Grace, I would also like the survey, if you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely. I will send it.
Thank you so much.
Can I just send it to Kim, and maybe Kim can circulate it? Okay, cool.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
And FYI, Weathersfield recently completed a study of their volunteer fire department. I don't have it in front of me, but that may be another, Fred in Weathersfield might be able to provide that.
Great, thank you.
This is background.
In 2020, we updated a tax abatement for volunteer firefighter and ambulance personnel, kind of increasing the amount. So I can send that to you as well.
Yeah, Kasha, in Mansfield, we have a LOSAP program. We also do a kind of a point system where, you know, attending training calls, et cetera, you earn points, and then they get a very modest stipend twice a year based on their activity. I think like a lot of folks, though, even with those benefits, we've been seeing the volunteer ranks just dwindle. And what I've also heard more recently is that folks might prefer the tax abatement that Tom was just referencing. And that is something under statute that's permissible.
That's what I've been advised as well, that it's really money isn't cutting it. And that's what part of, I'm happy to hear some of the things mentioned here, because it's more of an issue of recruiting new people. Retaining is, you know, there's some who are still part of it, but it's really, we got to build it up. And that's the key right there.
Right. Well, we could talk all day long about volunteer firefighters and our EMS ranks. So I think we're all facing that challenge. Anybody else have any items under municipal info sharing or requests? Or
I have an item that Pauline had just nudged me to bring up that I'd almost forgotten, but so for the FY20 Homeland Security Grant, which is the grant we're spending now, we had a set aside that we're required to spend on election security. Each region of the state, the five Demis regions, receive this set aside. So it's only $10,000 for our 41 communities. And just figured we'd throw it out there to see if anybody has any ideas on it. I've talked to a couple of registrars. I talked to the Republican Registrar in New Britain, the Democrat in Bristol. Nobody seemed to have any ideas off the top of their head. You know, Pauline and I were thinking more along the lines of, you know, just some type of large training session given the budget. But I just figured I'd throw it out there and see if anybody here has any ideas for that $10,000 set aside.
Well, I'm not sure what we could do with $263 per odd town. It might even be less than that, because I use 38 towns, not, what are we, a 40?
41 so. For Demis, yeah.
All right, so we're down to $220.
Okay. Email ideas to Cheryl.
You know, I did survey the other regions last week, and nobody has come up with anything, so they're all waiting to see what we do.
I like the idea of training, but I'm not sure if anybody's going to attend it. Just knowing the registrar's world.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard to get them to have enough hours to be in town hall.
You know, some of them said they'd love, you know, cameras on ballot boxes and whatnot, but, you know, obviously that's not the funding source for that. So,
okay. Well, as Pauline said, send along your creative ideas to Cheryl. Does that fall into the same category of a region-wide election monitor? How do you make that work? So, all right, future agenda items. You'll see those listed on the agenda. I don't think we have a specific timeline, but certainly the federal funding and infrastructure and then stormwater and waste management. So we'll look at setting up that January meeting with some timely discussions. Maybe a recap, Matt, on the where we stand with legislative agenda at that point as well. So
happy to
but as all as always, if there's you know, we've tried to organize this year with these timely topics, but you, if you do have other topics that you'd like to bring up, please share those with Kim or myself and company, and we can make sure we can get them slotted in. So does anyone else, or does anyone have any questions or items, additional items to touch base on this afternoon? Matt, are you folks good on your end?
I think we're good. I was hoping, Peter, if I could keep you for a minute or two following.
Sure. I want to, again, thank everyone for joining us, both the returning longtime members and new members. Good conversation, and I appreciate all the thoughts, and we'll figure out something, Pauline, on this RPIP stuff. So, all righty, folks. Have a great holiday if I don't run into you in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you all. Happy holidays.
Take care. Bye, everyone.
So I just wanted to debrief for a moment or two, Peter, and yep. Then had something else for you, too. So on the RPIP,
you want to stop the recording?
Oh, okay, stop the recording.
Because you're host now.
Because I'm the host now.
Yeah, you can right there. Sorry.
Got it. Thanks, Pauline.
Okay.